welcome back to week 10. I hope you've had a fantastic week. How did you get on with your questions during the week and all the actions that you were going to be taking? Hopefully you found yourself moving forwards this week with more confidence and noticing any dips in your self-esteem. Well, let's get you straight into your recap questions for week 10. So as always, if you turn to your workbook, you'll find them there. So what one thing have you learnt from last week's session? Stop the audio and answer that question now. What change or progress have you noticed since last week around ongoing goals? Again, stop the audio. Did you have any confidence dips in the week? And if you did you notice them? If you did, what did you do when you noticed them? How did you move yourself on from those past experiences that were causing your confidence to dip in the present? And how successful were you at catching past events and challenging them? On a scale of 1 to 10, how successful would you say that you were? And what difference, if any, did paying attention to past events, noticing the emotions, changing the interpretation of the event, and practicing the lessons learnt have on you this week? Question 6. Which confidence tips did you practice in the week? Hopefully you did at least 2 or 3. Write them down now. Notice which ones worked really well for you. Maybe there were some that weren't so great. Perhaps there were some that you thought, I'd like to try those, but I didn't have time this week. So really, what did you practice? What worked well? What didn't work so well? And which ones would you like to continue trying? Question 7. How did you get on with valuing and respecting yourself? Take some time to answer that now. And have you continued practicing all the techniques that you'd started from past sessions on a daily basis so that you can achieve your 30-day challenge that we spoke about previously? If you haven't, what stopped you? If you have, how do you feel about how far you've moved forward? And the last question for today before we get into the session. How has your expectation of yourself around your goals continued to improve this week? Take some time to answer those questions now before you move on. You might find yourself agreeing with this week's quotation. There is nothing so fatiguing as an uncompleted task. Not doing something you think you should or you ought to, you must or you want to, can drain us emotionally. It can drain us mentally and physically. It stops people from getting the most out of life. And sadly, so many people I've interviewed or worked with say it's a real and daily problem for them. So I wonder what you think about the word procrastination. I mean, what is it exactly? Well, literally, it means to leave something for tomorrow or to put it off. Put off doing something that should be done or ought to be done. And of course, when we're goal setting, procrastination can really get in the way of us succeeding. So the first step towards overcoming procrastination is actually recognising that you do it and that it is a problem. Because procrastinators have big and have small problems, but most of their problems are because they procrastinate. Is that making sense to you? Here's some traits that procrastinators share, and you might notice some of these in you. They know what they should do, and in many cases they know how to do it as well. Yet they continually find reasons to avoid taking the actions. And they're reluctant to do anything about a problem right now. They promise that they're going to take action at some vague time in the future. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe next week. But that time comes and goes and they put it off yet again. Do you find that you do that on a regular basis or just now and again? Now and again probably isn't going to interfere with your life too much. But if you're doing it regularly and you're doing it on some important goals or important tasks in your life, you may find you're feeling frustrated or dissatisfied with how you're operating. Procrastination really does keep people from living their best lives. So knowing that and knowing that it's doing this to us, why do we do it? Well, procrastination's a bad habit and it's one that develops over time. It's either because it's been learnt, you've watched others around you, be it your parents, your carers, your teachers, etc. Or it's that you couldn't be bothered. Or maybe you just made a decision at some point that you'd do it later and that became a bad habit. Fear of failure and fear of success can cause people to not take action on doing a task. And knowing that you want to do something, but not knowing how to do it, again, can cause you to procrastinate. And some people just aren't really interested in doing the task in the first place. For some, it's not important enough. For some, they're just tired. For some, they're not interested. Or maybe they're just disorganized. Or as I've already said, they might be fearful of something, of some result. And so they'd rather stay safe. They'd rather play from their comfort zone than take a risk and step into their stretch zone. So just stop and see if anything I've said so far is representative of how you're thinking or behaving around areas of your life. But what I'm most particularly interested in are the three goals you've selected for this program. Have you found yourself procrastinating at all whilst we've been working together? Stop the audio now and become really clear, really honest with yourself. What have you been putting off? What have you been avoiding? What have you been pretending that you'll do later, but then the time comes and goes and you don't do it? And if you want to stop and think about it in your life in general, then please do feel free to do that and write about it, share it with your buddy and your coach. But I'm particularly interested in you exploring the three goals that you're working with at this moment for this program. So stop the audio and have a think and answer those questions that I've just asked you or those statements that I just made a few moments ago. Okay, welcome back. So procrastination's learnt, and it's learnt one step at a time, and in order to break it, you need to use a similar strategy. So if you don't, you might see years passing by without achieving the goals that you want to. So changing behaviour patterns like procrastination, ironically, requires you to work at it. It means you have to do something in order to not procrastinate anymore. And the problem of avoiding doing something can only be solved by doing it. And you can find out more about that from a guy called Naus, K-N-A-U-S, 1993, some work that he's done into this particular subject. So here's step one. Get really clear about your goals, which I know you've already done. We've already covered this. So in order to break procrastination, we want to get clear about our goals. We want to check on a scale of 1 to 10. You know this stuff. How much do you really want it? 1 is not really bothered, 10 is I could not want it more, and you might fall somewhere in between. And you know we've already covered this. If you're wanting it at a 7 or an 8 or a 4, whatever it is, then the question is, what would it take to make it a 5? What would it take to make it an 8? What would it take to make it a 9, etc.? We want it up at a 10 out of 10, because then we know you really want the goal. The thing is, if it's a really low score, check in with yourself. What's going on for you? Do you really want this goal, or do you just think you want this goal, or has somebody else told you you should want this goal, or is it a have to have this goal rather than, well, I'd really like it and I really want it as well and I have to have it, but I have to have it for all the right reasons, all the positive reasons. Get really, really clear, because when you are, then you'll be able to be honest with yourself, you'll have greater self-awareness, and you won't put things off, because you'll make a decision, you'll either take an action or you won't. So just check step one right now with the three goals that you're working on. Okay, step two. For step two, you need to uncover and then forcefully dispute any self-defeating thoughts and beliefs that you have around the goal or the task in terms of it being too hard or being too difficult or any limiting beliefs. And we've already been working on this together, so you need to really check those out. Now, I know you've been doing this, but this is still step two. And if you follow this process, it will help you with not only the three goals you're working on, but future goals as well. So check if you've thoroughly checked out your beliefs and your verbal language. And if you're talking about it being hard or difficult, it's really quite an easy excuse to then put it off. Whereas if you change that language to something like not easy or challenging, it kind of suggests that, okay, there's going to be something I need to do here, but it makes it more possible than hard or difficult. So think about some language that you could use instead of hard and difficult if you find you are using that kind of language. Now, by doing this, it's going to help you to look at your attitude towards the task, and it will also help you to develop an anti-procrastination attitude, which if you decide to practice regularly in order to break the old patterns, you're going to find it much easier to make a statement about what you're going to do and just get on and do it. Now remember, we've looked at attitude. It's simply a cluster of beliefs that need challenging. However, if your mind is set, think about it, mindset, then it's going to be impossible for you to shift or alter your attitude so that you can get over procrastination and move on. So let's look at that again. Attitude is a cluster of beliefs that you have around a task or a goal or an area of life. And we already know you gathered those from past experiences, gathered those from important people in your life, like family members, culture, religion, teachers, peers, etc. You know all of this already. So what's your attitude like towards your three goals? I'd like you to check that out. And when you've checked that out, check, is it a positive attitude that knows that you can achieve this goal and knows that you're going to take action on it? And again, if you're already on board with these goals, this is more information for you for the other goals that we're not working together on here, so that you can use this to help you achieve goals 4 and 5 and 6, etc., when we're no longer working together. So stop now and just check, what's your attitude towards your three goals? Do that now, please. So you can start to overcome procrastination by working on your mind and on your attitude. You can approach tasks with a positive attitude and then practice the steps that you've identified that are essential for this change on a regular basis. That might be every day, it might be a few times a week, or it might be multiple times each and every day. But you need to identify what's essential in order to take you forwards in achieving this goal. Now, if you know that you've got a tendency to want to change things instantaneously, and you know that that doesn't work for you, then get clear about that now, because it's essential that you're honest with yourself, as I've already mentioned. It's essential that you practice your new habits and behaviours. And if you have no patience with yourself, or if you give up because things don't change quickly enough for you, then you might find that, like times in the past, you won't succeed, or you might find that you're failing on yet another goal. This is the kind of thing that clients share with me on a regular basis. So check out for yourself, what's your thought process around it taking time for your goal to materialize through the actions that you take consistently and regularly. Check that out now, please. Mental attitude is a choice. In cognitive behavioral therapy, we discover that procrastinators tell themselves that they will most likely be successful when all the circumstances are exactly right. You see, procrastination holds hands with perfectionism, and both are negative behaviours, and they will hold you back from success. So if you tell yourself that everything has to be exactly right before you can take an action or before you can move forwards, it's going to be really important for you to change that attitude and change that set of rules. Who says it has to be perfect before you can take a step forward? So start to challenge any mindset that you have around this or any past behaviour. And remember, if you're a perfectionist, there is no perfection. And if you disagree with me on that, you might find that some things are perfect. I know the people I've worked with, very little is perfect for them. But you might find things are perfect, and then you'll present them to someone else, and to them, they're not perfect. So what is perfect? So with clients, when we're working with them, what we're looking to do is to support them in getting to an 8 out of 10 in terms of it being good enough, rather than a 10 out of 10, which for so many perfectionists I've worked with never happens, which then gives them a good reason to put things off, because of course it's not quite the right time, it's not the perfect time, etc. Your attitude is going to determine the outcome of your actions. So start cultivating a positive attitude. Believe you can, and then do complete the jobs. Break them down into small step-by-step pieces. Get someone to support you and help you or encourage you. Remember what your goal is and why you're doing it, and really use it to motivate you. And start trusting yourself. Start committing to yourself. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Start using your diary, put it in there. Of course, if this goal's not important to you, then you'll find reasons and excuses not to do it. So why not just go, this goal isn't important and I'm not going to do it? Can you hear the difference there? So check out your attitude towards your goal. I've already mentioned that, but this is in terms of you believing you can complete the jobs and breaking them down into smaller steps. And if you don't believe you can achieve this goal, as we already know from the work we've done together, as Henry Ford says, you won't be able to, because he says whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. So check your belief about your ability to deserve this goal, your ability to have this goal. And back to the old scale, 1 to 10, how much you really believe you are going to take the actions to make this goal manifest and come into your life. So when you catch yourself procrastinating, The first consideration is to check your belief system. Check it around the chosen goal or around the chosen action. And in order to become successful at beating procrastination, which we're going to work more with as we go through this session and the next one, you're going to need your conscious and unconscious mind to work together. For many people, the first steps are the most difficult. They feel like the biggest struggle or battle. Now, if your conscious mind knows that you should, must, or ought to be working on a task or goal, only to have your unconscious mind knowing that you won't succeed because of past programming or because of past experiences or other messages that you've received, along with any decisions that you might have made, which we talked a little bit about already as well, then that's going to maintain and uphold your current attitude, and it's going to reinforce that you're not going to have the ability to change. Now, in neuro-linguistic programming, there is a fantastic technique called parts integration. It's used when a client reports that they feel torn in different directions or when they feel conflicted around taking action on a goal and therefore they don't take any action at all. And the intention of it is to check what the highest positive intention is for the conscious and unconscious parts of a client. By the end of the intervention, the two parts, that's the unconscious and the conscious mind, realize that they have the same good intention and they start working together instead of apart from each other. Now, not everyone has access to NLP training, so I want to share a quick and simple exercise that can be done prior to working on limiting beliefs, which will help you to check if your unconscious and your conscious mind in agreement. But you don't need to have an NLP expert work with you to find out whether your conscious and your unconscious minds are in agreement when it comes to working with procrastination. If it's something you would like to find out more about, then please do work with an NLP coach. But I want to remind you that in week 5, I introduced you to the kinesiology testing. And this is a really great time. I mentioned that you'd be using it again in the future with beliefs and procrastination. This is a great time to take another look at it and to consider using it if you haven't done so already. So what you could do is you could think about the action you want to take and you could ask yourself, do I have permission from my conscious mind to take action on this particular goal? And then you could do your little self-tester, pulling your fingers together, or the sway test, depending on which one you like best. And then you ask the unconscious mind, do I have permission to continue and take action on this particular goal from you? And again, you could check that. Now, the ideal is to get 2 yeses. However, very often you may find that you're going to get a no to one of those, probably the unconscious mind. So what you want to do then is you want to talk to your unconscious mind and you want to reassure it that you're not going to do anything that's too scary, you're not going to do anything that's going to take away your security or your safety. All you're going to do is you're going to look to work with your conscious mind so that you can actually start to improve this particular area of your life. So very simply, conscious mind, do I have your permission to work on this goal with my unconscious mind? Then test. You'll get a yes or you'll get a no. Unconscious mind, do I have permission to work with this goal in conjunction with my conscious mind? Yes or no? And you'll get a test again, result, a yes or a no. And then if you get a no to one of those, go speak to that part of you and say, I just want to reassure you, anything we do together is to bring home any lost parts that may have not understood what the benefits of taking this action were because of fear or because of worry, etc. And if you understand that I'm not going to get rid of any part of me, I just want to work more effectively with it, would you then please give me permission to continue doing this work with, and then whichever part of your mind said no? Now, normally the answer will be a strong yes to that. And this is like a very quick version of parts integration. If you want to do the full version, you'd see an NLP practitioner, or if you've done it yourself already as part of your training, you could then do parts integration with yourself. You can do this by yourself as well if you know how to do it. So I hope it's making some sense to you. It's a really good idea to get both parts of your mind, conscious and unconscious, working in conjunction with each other. They're more likely to support you in taking the actions that you want to. And it's just something a little bit alternative for you to consider as well as part of this coaching program. Take a look at your procrastination list. Select one of the topics you're procrastinating on. Check your beliefs about it. Have your coach or your supporter check out if your unconscious and conscious mind are working together or separately on this topic. Notice any feelings or mind chatter as your coach asks you the questions. Reassure the unconscious and check if you feel any different afterwards. You don't need to feel different, but if you do, it can be used as a measurement and reassurance for you that something has shifted or changed. So this is something a little bit different, and I'm introducing it to you as another way to really get in touch with how your body is working as well as your mind. These are a really great way to check if your conscious and your unconscious mind are in agreement. This is particularly important when you're working with limiting beliefs. So I hope you have a go at it, and I hope you enjoy it. And go do that now.
Give that a go. Check in with your conscious mind. Check in with your unconscious mind about something that you've been putting off, procrastinating about, that you'd really like to take action on. And get two yeses. Yes from your conscious, yes from your unconscious mind, that it will support you in working towards achieving this particular action. Give that a go now, and then come back to the audio when you're ready.
So how did you get on with that? Checking in this way supports the unconscious and the conscious minds in understanding that they're on the same side, and it can help each of them, much like in the parts integration, to see that if there's any self-sabotage going on, that they can have the opportunity to reconcile it. Now, because of this simple technique, clients have found that they've been able to move on with their belief changes much easier than when they've previously attempted to change limiting beliefs. For some of you, you won't have noticed any difference at all in asking those questions. It's best someone else asks you, by the way, than you do it yourself. For some of you, you'll have felt something. For others, you won't know what happened, but you'll just feel that it's better than it was, or you'll just think that it's different in a slight way, but without knowing how or why. It doesn't matter. All we're doing is being very respectful to your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. And as you know from self-esteem and confidence, self-respect is really important. It shows that you value yourself, that you're an important person, that you're good enough, that you deserve to have this kind of stuff checked out rather than forcing a part of you to do something that it doesn't want to do. So regardless of what you've practiced or done in the past, your real power is in the present. I need you to get that. And personal power is not about dictatorship or about abusing other people. It's about you feeling good enough. It's about you feeling that sense, normally within the stomach area, that you're complete, that you are energized enough to take action, to move forwards, to move upwards. So your future is created by the thoughts that you have and the actions that you take today. So whatever you do today creates your tomorrow. If you make a decision to learn from the past, if you make a decision to identify your fears and face them and then take action in spite of them, not only will your self-esteem and confidence grow, but you will also start to win the battle against procrastination. So take the above situation that you tested for a moment ago, the one that you've been procrastinating about. As you think about it, what are your thoughts or feelings about not taking action? Please write them down. How long have you been putting this off for? Stop the audio again and get very clear. Is putting things off a habit? How might you have acted differently? So instead of putting it off, what might you have done instead? Reflect on what you could, should, or ought to have done rather than putting off the action. What can you learn from this old behaviour and this old way of operating, this old experience? Please come up with at least three learning points from your reflection. Now, what will you do with those three learning points? Take some time and get very clear, focused. What will you do with those three learning points? If the same situation occurred now, today, or if it was to occur again in the future, this thing you've been putting off, procrastinating about, how could you handle it differently next time, now that you've got some learning? So get clear about what you'll decide to do instead, and get clear about what you used to do and step into your personal power in the present. Remember your state management and step into the personal power of someone who used to procrastinate around this particular topic or goal or issue, but no longer does because of the learning they've got and because of having challenged their limiting beliefs and because of knowing why they want the goal or why they want to take this action. Practice this regularly. Practice this new way of thinking and reflect each time you catch yourself wanting to procrastinate. Do the above exercise. Reflect on what's going on and then act so that you can allow change to occur. So what will you do with the above answers? Will you explore your attitude towards procrastination and challenge it and your beliefs? Or are you going to carry on putting off doing what you say that you want to do, what you have to do and what you must or ought to do? And are you going to stay stuck in that same old circle and cycle of procrastination? Please make a decision now. And then if you're ready to work on this topic, continue below. But stop and make a decision now. Okay, I'm going to assume you made the decision to move on. I hope so. If you haven't, then it's important that you stop right now and you explore this further with your coach or your buddy, professional person if possible, so that you can get over yourself, get over making excuses and move on. Start to step up and create the life you want to create. The best step you can ever take is action. And you haven't got to be taking action all the time, every day, 24 hours a day. But if it's something you really want, then it's important that you take some action, take some responsibility to make it happen, to bring it into your life. And to do that, you have to want the goal 10 out of 10. Again, you know this. And I said last time I was going to, as some sessions ago, I was going to repeat these things until you've really got them. Any less than a 10 out of 10, and you may not take the necessary action to succeed. So each time you find that it's not 10 out of 10, remember to ask yourself, what would make it not like a 9? What would make it a 10? And when you're there, then you're in a place to start taking action. And this is where having a coach is really helpful and supportive for you. So pick a goal now, ideally some part of the three that you've been working on. But if you have no procrastination over the three you've been working on and you want to pick a different goal purely for this exercise, then please do feel free to do that. But ideally, you're going to pick a goal, one of the three that you've been working on, that you may have been procrastinating a little bit over some aspect of it. So pick the goal and write below, you'll see it in your workbook, my goal I've been procrastinating over is, and then write it out. Next step, I want it, and then out of 10, how much do you want it? If it's less than 10, you know what you need to do. Now, the next thing is, it's advisable to identify the steps that you need to take to achieve the goal. And you covered this in What's in the Gap. You know how to do this. Remember, it's the X on the left-hand side of the paper, and it's the Y on the right-hand side of the paper. And it's like, what are the journey goals in between? So do this now, please, before moving on. If you've already done it, go find it. Go find it and have another look at it. So as you look at each of the steps that need to be taken, get clear about the importance and priority of each step. So really look at them and focus. Remember, if you're in a class with me now, we'd be stopping, we'd be working together in pairs, I'd be giving you a certain amount of time to get clear about how important are each of those steps and are they in the right priority? And or is the one that needs to be done before the other? Do that now, please, before you move on. Now write down, these are the steps needed, and this is the order that I need to take them in order for me to be successful in this goal. So please write out the steps that need to be taken by you in order for you to successfully achieve this goal. Now identify, these are the steps that I can do by myself. These are your steps, your journey goals, your steps, whichever you want to call them, that you were just thinking about writing down about before the last question. So what are the steps that you can do by yourself? Next question. Which of the steps or which of the journey goals do you need some help with? I need help with these. And write them down, please. Next point. Which ones don't you want to do? Which ones can't you be bothered to do? Write those down now, please. I don't want to, or I can't be bothered to, and then list the steps. And then which ones are you scared or fearful of doing? And you might write, I'm worried, fearful, scared of taking, and then list those steps, please. Next, get clear about the consequences of not taking the action on this goal. So what are the consequences? If you stay the way you are, if you don't take any action, if you carry on procrastinating and you never get around to taking these steps, what are the consequences for you? And next, let's look at the rewards. What's the rewards of taking these actions and achieving this goal? Some motivating stuff for you here. And what are the order now of the steps that need to be taken? And then identify the three essential steps that must be done first. And the great thing about this is you now know one of them might be something you need help with. One of them might be something you don't want to do. One of them might be something you can't be bothered to do. One of them might be something you're fearful of. With this clarity, you can then take that to your coach, or you can just sit with it and think, so what can I do about that? What can I do about the things I don't want to do? Because you have choice, as you know. Or what can I do about the things I can't be bothered to do? I mean, maybe you can get someone to help you with that, or do it for you. Who knows? Depends what it is. And the things that you're fearful of, well, we're going to be dealing with fear in a future session, but you could also get some help and support with that one as well. If you haven't, please answer all of the above questions now and all the above stages before you move on. The following stuff isn't going to work if you haven't got the answers to this. So please, please do that now. Well done. So look, with this awareness, you can now make a conscious decision to do what it is you can do and to get help with what you can't or don't want to do. And also to get some support with the stuff that you're scared or fearful about. So if you have just done that exercise, which I really hope you have, then well done. You now know what you need to do. You now know what needs to be done. And you know which of the steps are yours and you know which ones you need support with. So I really encourage you to make a commitment to act on the tips that you're going to find below. Most people find it a daily battle against procrastination, and some win against it and some don't. Remember, procrastination is a common enemy. You're not alone with this one. Taking action will allow you to beat it, to move on from it, to change it. So here's my tips for you. It's important that you take full responsibility and face up to past failures. One of the main causes of procrastination is people blaming circumstances or blaming other people for their failures. And when you do this, you give up the opportunity to learn and grow from your mistakes. And in turn, you give away your personal power. And all that this does is prepares you for a lifetime of procrastination and living a much smaller life than you deserve. So take full responsibility. Take a look at anything you catch yourself procrastinating on, and you can use the exercise that we've just done a moment ago, as well as remembering these tips. Point number two, just do it. Now, I know that's easily said, but if you make a decision to either let go of the task and decide that you're not going to do it at all, or just get on and do it, you're going to find that it's so much more uplifting. And you have so many tools to support you now. There are no reasons or no excuses why you can't get on and do this and make some really strong decisions around postponing a certain goal or an action because you don't want to do it, or putting it off because it's not the right time, this step needs to be done first, but then giving it a date and doing it when it is the right time, or just getting on and doing it because it's the right time and you want it. One of my clients recently said that she'd finally got it, that putting things off was more painful, and for such a long period of time as well, than just getting on and doing the task. Successful individuals know that in order to get what you want, you have to make a decision to act, and that takes some commitment. It's going to take some focus, and when you get focused, the energy and the resourcefulness that you get with it is uplifting and motivating. She also realised, as successful individuals do, that determination can be quite useful. And with just a teeny weeny little bit of self-discipline until it becomes a natural way of behaving for you. Point number three, establish your priorities. Now we've done this, so you know how to do it. Get them established. Choose to change your behaviour. Choose to change your thoughts and actions by doing something different from what you're currently doing. Most of us experience procrastination at some times. I have, most of my clients have, most people I know have. But the thing is that when we get our priorities right, we can start to win against it. And if we procrastinate because we forget, remind yourself you're not going in the direction that you want to if you continue to procrastinate. So make a commitment to make something happen in at least one of your high priority items every day. As George Eliot said, it's never too late to be the person you could have been. The best time to start is right now in the present. Start creating your tomorrow. Start creating your futures the way you want them to be. Get enthusiastic, point number four. Thomas Edison said, if the only thing we leave our kids is the quality of enthusiasm, we will have given them an estate of incalculable value. Enthusiasm is a powerful weapon against procrastination. And enthusiasm hasn't got anything to do with how you're feeling. Feelings and emotions can take you all over the place. They can often drag you back when you had good intention thoughts. But the answer may lay in an earlier exercise you took part in. Choice. By choosing your frame of mind, by managing your state, both physically and mentally, you can remind yourself of a past time when you felt motivated and action-orientated, and you can step into that at any time you choose. And all you have to do is step into the feeling of enthusiasm, and you already know you can do that in an instant. So let's do it now. Think of a time when you felt really motivated to take action. You felt really enthusiastic about it. How are you standing? Do it now. Do it down to every last little movement. We've done this before, and if you've been practicing it, you're going to be really good at this. You're going to be able to do it in a second. So what were you saying to yourself? What did you look and feel like? Now, if you practice this state often and then anchor it each time, just by squeezing two fingers together or pressing on a part of your arm or your shoulder, etc., until you're good at it, then you'll be able to just squeeze or push that anchor point any time and you'll find yourself feeling motivated. So do that now. Remember a time, stand like you were, feel the way you felt. It's no good just thinking this, you've got to feel it as well. Close your eyes and remember how wonderful it felt being motivated and enthused. Start to feel that. Where does it feeling start in your body? Remembering that time. And where does it move to? How does it make you look? I mean, are you smiling? What are you thinking? What are you saying to yourself? Are you feeling determined? Are you feeling joyful, upbeat? What kind of words are you using to remember what it was like to be motivated and enthused? And now, squeeze together, say, your thumb and your little finger whilst you're in that peak state, whilst you're really up there feeling motivated and enthused. You can either do this with me while I'm talking to you, or you can turn this off and you can do it in the silence by yourself, because it's a very easy exercise to do. So squeezing your finger and your thumb together when you're in that peak state, and then holding it for 2 or 3 seconds and then letting it go. Okay. And then do it again. Remember that time again. It can be the same one or a different one. Doesn't matter if it's the same. It doesn't matter if it's different. Remembering enthusiasm and motivation and seeing yourself, feeling it rising in your body, noticing what you're saying to yourself, what you're thinking, paying attention to what you look like, whether you were smiling, how you're standing, all the things we've just done. And then when you really feel it, when you can, the movement is going through your body, squeeze your finger and thumb together nice and firmly. And then let go. And then do that just one more time. We're looking for 3 times. This is anchoring. Anchoring your feelings to a point, a physical point on your body, so that you can recall this any time you need it. Now, the more you practice this, the easier and quicker it's going to come. Now, when I say the more you practice it, if you practice it once or twice a day for the next 21 to 28 days, you will be able to, at will, squeeze your little finger and your thumb together. And you will get those feelings rising in your body so that any time you think of procrastinating, you can put yourself into a strong standing position, squeeze together your finger and thumb. You can do this at work. You can do it in the ladies and gents. You can do it anywhere privately. You can do it in front of people, because you just got to squeeze your finger and thumb together and nobody will notice. You just stand differently and squeeze. And the feelings will start to soar through your body. Doesn't work for everyone. None of these techniques, none of these things I'm sharing with you are 100% everybody, but it works for a very, very large majority of people. So give it a go, do it 3 times, and then after the 3rd time, just break your state, walk away, go make a cup of tea or have a glass of water or something like that, and then come back. And then, so we'd be having a tea break right now if we were in a class together, and then come back and then squeeze. We don't leave it too long, 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes most. Squeeze your finger and thumb together after having practiced 3 times. And just notice if you start to get strong feelings back in your body, or even if you just get a gentle movement of enthusiasm, excitement and motivation coming back into your body. If you get a little bit of it, keep practicing it more and more until it becomes a strong and fast surge, which can help you to break procrastination. So please do that now. Do it 3 times. Go get yourself a drink. Treat it as our tea break, and then come back and try it again without remembering. Just literally squeezing and see if it comes back to you. It's working for me now. I can start to feel it come back to me as I do it. And then we'll carry on with these tips. So enjoy your break. See you back in a few moments. So, how did you get on? I wonder if it worked for you. And if it didn't, don't worry. There's always more things. We've got plenty of tips coming up for you, and you've had quite a few already to support you. But even if it didn't, I'd say get another go. And ideally, do it with a coach, or do it with somebody who can talk you through at the right pace. It's not always the easiest thing to follow on audio for everyone. So, give it another go and practice it. And then if it doesn't, you find, it's not working for you after, say, a week or two, then fine. Let's look for something else to support you. But anchoring is fabulous in terms of bringing back really great feelings for people, and particularly nipping procrastination in the bud. And if you're serious about this, it's worth giving it a go. So I really hope it worked for you and that you will continue to use it to support you in breaking procrastination. So let's get on with tip number five. Stay away from negative people. Find some supportive family and friends who are going to cheer you on, who are going to support you and challenge you if you decide to fall back into your old behaviours or habits. Now, I know that's not always easy to do, but it's not impossible. So many of us are surrounded by negative people, and they can be our friends and our family as well. And so when we come to the Energy Week, you may decide that you need to put some protective measures in place in order to stop absorbing any negative attitudes, because as we already know, they're pretty contagious. And even if you're feeling up, if we hang out in places of negativity, it can start to affect our mood and our behaviour and attitudes. Have you noticed that? Now, I've seen and taken part in a number of energy kinesiology demonstrations that show that a positive thinker whose arm tests strong because they're positive, and that's a sign that you are positive, your arm's testing strong, by themselves with a therapist, then gets surrounded by negative thinkers. Their arm, when it's tested again in the presence of negative thinkers, even though they're feeling and thinking positive, can go weak, which means that they're starting to absorb a little bit of the negativity. Now, if you're interested in finding out more about this or seeing it, you can look on YouTube. There's lots of information on there that shows you how to test this, and there's more information about how it works as well. Now, the only reason I'm sharing it with you is not to frighten you, but just to share with you how easy it is for you to be feeling okay or feeling great and not realise that suddenly you've gone into work or maybe a family environment, and even though you're feeling fine, suddenly you're not feeling so great and you don't understand why. Well, it could be other things, of course, but it's worth checking out. If it's not something else, I wonder if it's because the energy in the room or the people is lower than yours. As I said, there are energy protection exercises that we can do, and I will be sharing some of those with you in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, this is about you becoming aware. And if you hang out with negative people, well, you know, just be aware that they're negative and remind yourself that you want to be in a positive state. And so don't hang out with them perhaps as long as you used to. And at least notice that that could be part of what's affecting you as well. This isn't about blaming other people. This is about you recognizing that there may be some negative people in your life who could be keeping you stuck in procrastination and feeling low. So check it out and see. Okay, point number six. Get the difficult, hard or unpleasant tasks done at the time of day when your energy is at its highest. Now, if you're not sure when that is for you, then do what Brian Tracy suggests. Brian Tracy is a very well-known motivational speaker, and he wrote a book called Eat That Frog. And what that's all about is doing the most unpleasant or the most difficult task first thing in the morning. Imagine that. Just imagine getting the most unpleasant task out of the way in the morning. You get up, you start your work or your actions, and you think, do you know what? I'm going to do the worst one, the hardest one, the most difficult one, the most challenging one now. The rest of the day just goes so easily, so smoothly. It's a huge weight off your shoulders. So either do that or get clear about your best time of the day. For some of us, it's first thing in the morning. For some of us, it's before or after lunch. For some of us, it's later in the evening. So check out when yours is and commit to doing those tasks that you'd rather not at your best time of the day. When you start to change your old behaviours, when you get into the habit of taking action, your enthusiasm, your self-belief and your confidence start to go through the roof in a really positive way. Did you know that lack of action can be a major cause of depression and anxiety? So if you find that you suffer a little bit from either of those as well, then state change and goal setting and taking action can really, really help with some of the other emotional states that some of us experience. 7. Find a question to ask yourself that helps you to get motivated. A popular one is, if today were my last day alive, how would I spend it? If that isn't the right question for you, find one that is. Mark Twain said, do something every day that you don't want to do. This is the golden rule for acquiring the habit of doing your duty without pain. 8. Did you know that procrastination can lead to chronic fatigue? According to research, 80% of people who visit doctors with chronic fatigue don't require medication. Often, they share that they live a sedentary life that, coupled with lack of exercise, are considered contributing factors to feeling low and developing chronic fatigue. So, again, take some action. Take some gentle exercise. Now, thinking about your goals, I've mentioned this before, and going for a walk or using a rebounder, which is a small trampoline, or dancing to music whilst linking your goal and your thoughts to something that's enjoyable. So if you don't like exercise that much, maybe you like dancing or bopping about to music, but something that just puts a little spark back into your step and gets you moving just even a little bit so that you can start to feel enthusiastic and motivated towards your goal and towards your life as well. And we've looked at that a fair bit already. So 9, what gives you more energy? Discover what it is so that you can take more action towards it. See, having energy makes facing boring or tedious jobs much easier. And of course, the better you get at getting things done, the better you're going to start feeling about yourself. 10, when you catch yourself thinking about procrastinating, get clear about your habits and strategies around it. Notice your thoughts. Just stop yourself. Remember, with either your hand saying stop or the band, if you liked that, we did that earlier on in an earlier session. Notice your thoughts. Notice the pictures and the feelings. Notice each step. Take apart what's going on in your body at the moment that you're thinking about procrastination. Then start to interrupt them by breaking your state. All breaking your state means is change your posture. Catch the limiting mind chatter. Shatter that negative image. Replace it with one of the new thoughts, the new images, or the new behaviours. You must be getting good at this now if you're practicing them. Consider standing up or sitting down on a high stool when you're doing certain activities, if it's possible to do that. Because a number of famous and not so famous people have said that they're more productive and they get more unpleasant desk type jobs done much faster when they don't allow themselves to get too comfortable. Now, I know that worked for me. When I sit down and get a bit too comfy and start to digress or start to perhaps look at emails or some other things that take me away from the task that I've decided I want to do. So quite often now, every day, I will stand up with my computer, have it on a higher surface, and I'll stand up and I'll do certain jobs or tasks while standing. And it's amazing how focused I get with it. And other people have told me that this works for them as well, because you want to go and sit down. And so you get the job done. Now, not quickly in terms of it being shoddy, but you get the job done in terms of, right, let me finish this and then I can go and sit down and have a little relax. So consider doing that. You might already know this, 11. But gratitude is a wonderful state to be in. So start looking for stories of those who've got little or no choice, both past and present. Look at their stories to help you be more thankful that you are free to choose. So one of my clients is working with children who are dying from cancer and teenagers who've got AIDS. Now, she shared that neither of these groups waste any time because they say their life is too precious and too short. And I found that working with individuals and even just having close friends and family members who are going through terrible times is wonderful in that I can help and support them, and also wonderful to help me become so grateful for my health, for all my parts at work, for my opportunity to choose to take action on goals or choose not to. Remember, that's the thing. I'm grateful for that as well, for the house I'm living in, for the warmth that I can have in my home, all those things that we can take for granted, to have entertainment, to have a TV, to have electricity. These might sound like little things, but when you start talking to, like I do, to people who work in war-torn countries, and some of the people I know go out there and help and offer aid to some of the awful disasters that have happened over the last years in countries around the world, wow, when you listen to them and when you listen to how grateful the people are that they work with for the little bit of help and the little things that my colleagues and other people I know are doing for them, then that really keeps me humbled and on track. And it makes me so grateful every single day for how lucky I am and the choices that I have. So maybe that could work for you as well. As those kids said, life's too precious. It's too short. And we often forget that. I'm saying we, maybe you don't. Often we can forget that until it's too late or until we're hit with a disaster. Well, wouldn't it be nice to not have a disaster occur in order for you to start taking action? So see if that could help you. And the last point, the last tip, number 12. Is honesty important to you? Maybe you're saying yes, maybe no. I've mentioned that a few times in this section. Did you know that persistent procrastinators tell themselves lies? They refuse to accept responsibility for themselves and for their lack of action. They get caught up in playing a delusional game which they can't win. They fool themselves problems will go away, or that they will get around to taking action tomorrow. This causes them daily and unnecessary pain. Procrastinators pretty much always justify their lack of action. They make excuses and they lie to themselves. They choose to stay in their comfort zone and play small in life. Is that how you want to be? If you're doing this program, there's a good chance that your answer to that is a resounding no. There's lots of research out there that says you can develop new habits in 2 weeks to 4 weeks. Now, some people can do it a lot quicker. You can make a decision and you can develop a new habit immediately. It all depends. Some people need to rehearse and practice more than others. But the thing is, if you're serious about changing, you can break these habits. You can change them. I know, I've done it. And I've worked with hundreds and thousands of people who've done it as well. So are you really serious about breaking procrastination? Think about people you know who always get things done. What are their work habits? How do they approach unappealing tasks? How do they stay focused? If you don't know, go and ask them. Here's some things that clients have told me who've beaten procrastination. This is what they said they've done. They mentally prepare themselves to be productive. So they visualize, they talk to themselves. They keep inspirational messages where they can be seen. That's part of me asking you to put those questions around the house and diary and car and that on a regular basis every week. They do something on their hard to-do list every single day. They visualize their success a number of times throughout the day. They see themselves taking action. They know that the easy jobs or the jobs that they're passionate about can be done at any time. They're the things we don't need to make ourselves do. They decide to tackle hard or horrid jobs early on at their most productive time. They avoid and get rid of all distractions such as emails every 5 minutes and getting involved in office gossip. They use tools such as Covey's Important, Urgent, Not Important, Not Urgent. And if you haven't come across that, it's in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and that's Stephen Covey. They tell me that they commit to changing their habits and they take action. They remember the 80-20 principle. If you don't know what that is, please go and look it up. It's very well known. They tell others and they go public that they have to do the task. So they tell others what they're going to do. They go public with it. They said, this is what I'm going to do. And that really helps them and motivates them so they don't lose face. They use do not disturb signs and they stick to them as well. They arrange their environment so it works for them. They make sure they can find what they want when they want it, rather than having to hunt for what it is they're looking for and then getting distracted by other things they find along the way. They don't wait for the right set of circumstances to get started because they know there may never be a perfect time. And they give it their best effort. They're not looking for it to be perfect, but they are giving it their best. And when things go wrong, they ask themselves, what could I have done to get a better or different result? We talked about that earlier. How can I ensure that I do that next time? They've got some good self-esteem, and many of them, like myself as well, have had to work on that in order to get good self-esteem. And when you've got that, it means that you can make decisions a little bit easier, and then you can focus on them. And so beating procrastination is a move towards building good self-esteem. So they're kind of entwined with each other. Still with my successful clients, beating procrastination, they know when to stop doing one task and when to start doing the next one. And they don't waste time. They know it's too precious. They ask themselves the following questions when they find they're not taking action, and they start from that point. Thinking of the task that you were working on earlier and knowing how you feel about it, here's the questions I want you to apply to it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. So what will I do? I can do it, but I don't want to do it. What do I need or who can help me? I want to do it, but I can't. What resources, training or help do I need? I can do it and I want to. Put a start date in my diary. Often the tasks we procrastinate about are the very ones that would move us forwards the most. So please, stop now. Make a list of all the things you're procrastinating about. You'll see this in your workbook. Please do that now. Now you've done that, get clear about how you're going to handle each one of them. Which ones have you started but not finished? How far have you got with each one? 10%, 50%, 75%? Go through each one, please, and answer these questions. How do you operate? Do you tackle the difficult tasks first or do you leave them till last? Which one, if you took action on it, would give you the greatest reward? Decide to start doing that one first, or sandwich it between two that you're happy to take action on. As Mark Twain said, if you have to swallow a frog, don't stare at it too long. And as Thomas Edison said, if we did all the things we were capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. Go do that exercise now, please. Do something today that you've been putting off. And start astounding yourself. So here we are at the end of another session. Next week, we're going to be looking more at procrastination and also at accountability and beliefs. So here's a recap of what we've done today. We've looked at procrastination and what it is. We've looked at the traits of procrastinators and checked whether they fit some of your traits or your behaviours. We've also looked at steps and tips for challenging procrastination. We looked at mental attitude, working with the unconscious mind to challenge it, and also examining areas that you've been procrastinating on. We looked at self-awareness about your procrastination strategy and also how to challenge that. Tips for working with procrastination, and you've had a number of personal exercises. And here they are. An inner check, self-test check. Questions to support your self-awareness. Checking your goal out against procrastination. 12 steps to move on from procrastination and keep you on track. Tips from clients that I've worked with. Your areas of procrastination. And more clarity on how to handle procrastination should it start to come and try and take you away from the actions that you want to move forward with on your goal setting. Here's your questions for the week. As always, they're in your workbook. Put them in your home, in your car, on your fridge. As always, ask yourself them on a daily basis. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do I want to beat or work on procrastination? If I was less aware, which actions might I ignore or procrastinate about today? Which of them would it be great to get out of the way or to get done? Now I know what actions they are. Which of them will I act upon first? And what's the second one I'll act on? And then if there are any others. I notice when I procrastinate and challenge it immediately, I then take action. By the end of today, I will have taken action on and then fill in the areas or the tasks or the goals that you will have taken action on every single day. So the optional extra this week is to research or read more about this subject. And there's plenty of information in terms of books that you can buy on Amazon or in a good bookstore on the subject of procrastination. So read more about it or research more about it and then commit to act upon what you read. Do the exercises you've experienced during this session for at least two or three more things. So we took one goal or one task that you're procrastinating on. So repeat the exercises for ideally another two things so that you've done it three times. There's some magic in doing things three times. And then apply the same lessons that you did whilst we were working together today. You've got your weekly action plan, and as always, where are you with your goals now? One weekly action plan for each goal. Write a sentence saying what you think about the goal you're working on right now. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to achieve this goal? What three steps could you take this week to help move you closer to your goal? Write them below and then state what three steps will you take to move you towards your goal, move you closer towards it. And then, as always, your recap. What have you done over the past weeks to take you closer to your goal? Write your progress to date, either on your action sheet or in your journal. Are you getting on okay with your journal? I wonder if you're still using it on a regular basis. And if you are, by now you'll be able to look back over how far you've come. And you'll also start to notice patterns in terms of goal setting or not goal setting, taking action or not taking action. And also any other patterns that might emerge in terms of relationships, in terms of self-talk or self-belief. So if you've stopped using it for any reason, maybe you'd like to consider picking it up again so that you can really reflect on and notice what you've been doing in terms of procrastination. So as always, I'd like to wish you a wonderful, wonderful week and hope you enjoy the exercises and look forward to speaking to you again next week. And in the meantime, take lots of care.